Welcome to our first Voice of Advocacy podcast for 2025. I'm Dr. Jeff Barrows, Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy here at CMDA, and honored to be the host of the podcast. And today, we have a little different program. I'm honored to have our CEO, Dr. Mike Chupp, as my guest today to allow him to speak about his thoughts on advocacy. So welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Jeff. Very much appreciate the fact that you started this Voice of Advocacy podcast, and she was on the other foot today, I think.
Yeah, it's a little different. Normally, I'm kind of your co-host.
My sidekick.
Sidekick or whatever in CMDA Matters. So let's dive in right away. And, you know, I guess I would start out by saying that we at CMDA, and you were the one that came up with the acronym CASE, CASE, mm-hmm. to describe our four major ministry areas. And of course, the A in CASE stands for advocacy. So my first question to you is, as CMDA CEO, why have you made advocacy such a significant ministry here at CMDA?
Well, for listeners, I'm smiling because anytime I get asked that question, I think of one of the responses from one of our board members when we did a survey on, you know, the different what we call key result areas,
right.
CASE, community advocacy service and equipping. And the survey on this, we used to be, our KRA used to be voice. And so when I was proposing advocacy, one of the board members, it was anonymous, I don't know who it was, said, I don't like advocacy because it's too close to the word activism, and I don't think we as Christians should be involved in activism. Well, I had to smile. It was the only opinion like it, and advocacy won the day.
Fortunately.
Jeff, the reason I like the word advocacy is because it is so core to biblical teaching. All throughout Scripture, I was thinking through whether James, pure religion is this, mm-hmm. to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Or James later says, suppose, you know, one of you is without clothing and daily food and you say, hey, go, God bless you, go, I wish you well, but there's nothing about physical needs. It's worthless. Or the prophet Micah, that Scripture that many of our listeners know, 6:8. What does God require of us? Yeah. The first thing is to do, not just speak about, but do justice. And then the Scriptures that we bring up on CMDA Matters all the time when we have an advocacy guest would be two from Solomon. One is Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 to 12, in which Solomon says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, doesn't he who weighs the heart know that you know it, if you will? Mm. And then my favorite, of course, is Proverbs 31, 8, 9. Yeah. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. So all through Jesus in the Good Samaritan parable told that expert in the law, tried to trip him up, go and do likewise. Show mercy. Actually, be an advocate for your neighbor.
Yeah. That one from Proverbs 31 is one of my favorites. And of course, when you think about who are those that cannot speak up for themselves, it's certainly the preborn that first comes to mind because they're incapable of speaking out and protecting themselves. So they're depending on us. Well, you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but we do have several members that in the past several years that have commented that CMDA is too political. And you and I have talked about this on a number of occasions, but what is your typical response when somebody comes and says that to you?
Well, for listeners, Jeff and I have talked about this umpteen million times, it seems, and it tends to follow an article or a podcast in which our speaker or the writer has referred to some government official or administration, or maybe a reference to a U.S. president, administration, or a congressional action that deals with an issue important for Christians in healthcare, especially bioethical issues. And those issues or the policy or what we're discussing comes in conflict with long-held positions, say on abortion or assisted suicide or gender transition treatments. And our opposition to that is viewed as political. And my response would be that our communications, Jeff, to the extent that you and I have influence over them from CMDA, will not be partisan or political in nature, but they will be positional in nature.
Yeah.
With those positions having been determined by a committee that you're a part of, our ethics committee, and our board, and our House of Representatives, and those positions are based upon primarily upon teachings in God's Word. And so we are positioned, not political. And then a perspective difference that we have noticed is that a different viewpoint from our older members and constituents versus maybe some of those in training. We primarily hear these comments more often from students.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we had a student board member not long ago who said, the main issue that we have as students is that CMDA is so political. Now, if they were complaining that we were partisan and that we were taking sides in an election or so forth, then I would say, okay, I can see where they're coming from. But in reality, they're talking about us taking these positions. And so as much as I've talked to board members and we've talked about this and others, I don't think we can change who we are in those positions. And so we have to be careful when we mention political figures' names and in what context. And I think you work really hard not to do that. But facts are facts. If a certain – if Biden's administration does something, we have to call it what it is. If the Biden administration, HHS, did this or that.
Right. I guess I've reached the point that if we're going to be doing this advocacy and framing it as protecting the vulnerable, and we're going to be doing it at a federal and state level, we will continually be seen as political by some, even though you and I agree that our definition of political is different than many of our members. And I think many of our members say any type of involvement in the political process whatsoever is being political and we shouldn't be doing it. But again, as you've already answered with the verses and everything, we do need to be involved and that God has called us to that. So, well, and I've already mentioned this briefly. I have framed our advocacy work as protecting the vulnerable. And I think the Lord has led me and us to focus on four major vulnerable populations. First, protecting the preborn, as I just talked about with Proverbs 31.
Near and dear to your OBGYN heart.
It is. It has been. But I think it's also very biblical. And secondly, adolescents who are vulnerable to gender transition, which is just an issue that I could not even conceive of when I was in my training 40 years ago. The third group is those at the end of their lives vulnerable to assisted suicide. And the fourth group is really protecting our vulnerable members, healthcare professionals that are being faced with conscience threats. So of those four issues, protecting the preborn, protecting adolescents, protecting those at the end of their life, and protecting healthcare professionals, which is closest to your heart and why?
Well, I feel that, and I think you and your team have done a fabulous job equally investing your energies in these four general groups. But in answer to your question, timing means a lot. And for me, in the summer of 2016, when Dave Stevens asked me to come to CMDA, I came in July, just 13 months after the Obergefell decision by the Supreme Court, same-sex marriage legalized.
Mm-hmm.
The very month that I came to CMDA, maybe within a week, the Obama administration had made the decision to interpret in the Affordable Care Act, Section 1557, to interpret sex discrimination as including gender identity, perceived gender identity. And I was taken aback. I mean, already those who had sent me from Kenya, you know, with their blessing and prayer and commissioning had said they don't understand what's going on in America. This is Kenyans talking. They don't understand. And then I come back and find out that people like me, a general surgeon like me, Jeff, could be sued and lose Medicare, Medicaid reimbursements because of refusing to do what's now called upper surgery, masculinization, but really a bilateral mastectomy. I could lose a significant part of my reimbursement. So that really, really frustrated me and caused me alarm. And then as I began to pay attention to what was going on in this culture, because I'd been living in Kenya for a number of years, I became more and more alarmed at the ramifications of this whole gender identity, this transgender tsunami. And you know, scripture, plenty of scripture to talk about the unborn, but also plenty of scripture about vulnerable children. And so for me, you'll remember when we recruited you to come and join us, Jeff, and I said, you might want to do a little bit of reading in preparation for this whole idea of gender dysphoria. And you jumped right in and said, we'll do it. But I would say right now, and here's another perspective, Jeff, if I might, that I feel like if there is a cause right now which is hanging in the balance, and which there seems to be some momentum given to healthcare professionals, it is this issue of transgenderism because of the CAS review. Other nations who've been ahead of us in this gender dysphoria whole realm have backtracked. I heard an interview on a podcast the other day as the Scrimeti decision was happening, oral arguments were happening, not yet the decision. And it was a physician in California, Jeff, that said, all this is well and good, and we may win this victory in the Supreme Court to allow Tennessee to stop puberty blockers. But the issue for the long haul is the House of Medicine. Unless medical societies and medical professionals in academia change their perspective on this, this is not going away. And so, Jeff, I feel like we at CMDA, because we're the David versus Goliath here, need to support, encourage, equip our members, empower them to speak out in this arena and make a difference right now. Because I think the future hangs in the balance, and it's the House of Medicine that has gotten it wrong.
Yeah. It reminds me of an email that we got. We had a recent webinar talking about the election, and there was a lot of discussion items. But in follow-up of that, a member had written and said to me, that they belonged to the medical, the AMA and their specialty college, and they're so frustrated because of the way both the AMA and their particular specialty college were going. They were getting ready to quit. And they said, what is your advice? And first of all, I said, thank you for writing and asking for my advice. And then I went on to say, we need to have our members, our Christian healthcare professionals, remain in these societies to be salt and light to impact the House of Medicine. Because what's happening now with the progressives is getting these societies moved over to the progressive ideology, and we need to begin slowly reversing that. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of patience. But if everybody leaves all these societies, then they'll be fully progressive and
There'll be a vacuum. And I do want to say, Jeff, that as I look back over the last 4 years, that has been one of the major ways that you've influenced me, is that whole concept of staying in the trenches in the secular societies and having an influence. Because why would we be surprised if we've abandoned those societies, if we've walked away? And we get it, why people do that, these frustrations. But if we don't hang in there, like some of our AAME reps have done, that we can have influence, even if we're marginalized.
Yeah.
We'll have some influence.
And unfortunately, as I told this member, they still have a lot of pull, a lot of power, especially with advocacy. They're well thought of by the general population. So anyway, I'm glad we do need to influence our healthcare profession, and that's one small way we can do it. But now, what do you see at the beginning here of 2025 as, again, our CEO here at CMDA, what do you see as the greatest threat to our members?
Well, clearly the threat to conscience-driven healthcare is great. And of course, that we talked about the vulnerable among our members because of this, and how that goes across all these issues, really. Across, there's no specialty really that can escape. There's some that are more involved than others. But at the heart of the issue, Jeff, for me, is I think the greatest risk to our members is the temptation to hunker down and to preserve one's career. And I was introduced by another CMDA leader from Europe who talked about the four P's versus the four C's. And the four P's, they're for really for all professions, but especially he was speaking of medicine: power, prestige, position, and payment. And that we tend to be, within medicine, the House of Medicine, driven by those four P's.
Yeah.
The alternative is the four C's. Christ-centered, compassionate care. And I've kind of morphed that into Christ-like and conscience-driven compassionate care. So the thing I'm concerned about, as, and I know you are as well, is that instead of following the exhortation of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and not living by lies, our members would, and our constituents, Christians in healthcare, would keep their heads down so they can maintain their positions. In December, I was sharing with a group of CMDA leaders here at our headquarters, and we were talking about some of these issues, including CMDA's political and so forth. And a statement was made by one of the leaders. He said, "Mike, don't you realize that Christians, especially in academia, well, they can't let people know that they're Christians because they would lose their jobs." And I didn't take the time to, at that point in time, well, doesn't that put academics in a really awkward position that they're not acknowledging that they're Christians and that they're not standing up? In a way, they're quietly disowning their Lord Jesus. And that is my greatest concern, is that silence will dishonor our Lord Jesus, no matter whether it's community practice or academia. I think that's the greatest risk, is that our members will treat their faith, what I've heard called a personal identity accessory, a PIA, that when they get to the hospital door, they take off their personal identity accessory, and ironically, they put on a Vocera, that little device where they can communicate inside the hospital, this new wonderful technology, but they take off their faith and they put on the Vocera, and they go throughout their day, and at the end of the day, maybe they put back on their faith, but they're quiet about their commitment to their Lord Jesus.
And aren't we as Christians today so thankful that the apostles didn't do that?
Oh, amen, amen.
Well, can you imagine? We wouldn't be here if they had made that decision themselves to go back and Peter and decide to be a fisherman because he didn't want to risk his life as a fisherman. So again, as we enter into this new year, what is your ideal vision, Mike, that may or may not be advocacy related, I want to open that door to you, that you would like our members to adopt as they engage as Christian healthcare professionals in this increasingly contentious culture?
This is a very, for this chief encouragement officer, a very important question. And the way I'd like to answer it is that this answer will deal with advocacy, but it'll also deal across the entire spectrum of community advocacy, service, and equipping. And that involves what I think what God has put on my heart for the rest of my career, as long as the board and the Lord will allow me to be here, is that every member is a mentor. Every member a mentor and a discipler. And that's especially true in the arena of advocacy because, as you know well, it's not that many, large of a percentage of Christians in healthcare who are out there being active in their state, local, or certainly federal level on these issues of advocacy, keeping their heads down, doing excellent patient care right where they are, but thinking broader. No. So those who are involved with us in the AAME and otherwise in advocacy, every one of them mentoring one, two, or three younger healthcare professionals and demonstrating for them what it's like to do this, as Peter said, with gentleness and respect. To speak those who oppose him, Paul said to Timothy, he must gently instruct in hopes that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they'll come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who's taken them captive to do his will. We need mentors who do that well for the next generation to show up how to speak up, speak truth, even when it's not popular, when there's adversity. So that for me is my vision that every member is a mentor and that they can say, yeah, there's this individual and this individual and this individual. Those are the people right now God has put into my wheelhouse, into my space to mentor.
I can tell this is a passion of yours. Just
yeah, listen, my arms are flailing.
Yeah.
I'm moving
it's too bad
the
video.
Place.
We don't have a video, but an excellent point. Thank you for that, Mike. And as you started out our podcast talking about scripture, I want to end it with one of my favorites that comes out of Psalm 82, 3 and 4. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And I am especially thankful. Our theme for our national convention this year is Spoke in the Wheel. And I think I need to give the quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, from which we that theme, and that is, "We are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice," which a lot of our members are prone, and it's a good thing to do. But Bonhoeffer goes on to say, "We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself." And that's what we're trying to do in our work of advocacy. So, Mike, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today and give your vision to those who are listeners, our members, and I think it'll be very important for them to get it.
Thanks, Jeff, for this invitation and for you listeners for listening today to our little conversation.
All right. So until we meet next time on The Voice of Advocacy, please continue to stand strong.
Thanks for listening to The Voice of Advocacy. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email advocacy@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.